Boys and Girls, the Cover 2 podcast after week 14 games in the NFL. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. Only 3 weeks left in the regular season. There was some movement yesterday in the NFC East and especially in the AFC wildcard race we'll get to. As I'm always joined by Wes Bunting, who does a lot of our college writing here at the Post. Does a great job with the prospects. Did a lot with the Heisman this past week, and that's where I want to start, Wes. I want to get into real quick. I know we're supposed to be talking about the NFL, but we're going to see a lot of these guys in the pros very soon. And your thoughts on Ingram winning the Heisman, the kid from Bama. I'm shocked that it's the first Heisman winner ever from Alabama. That's shocking in itself, considering how great that program is. But what are your thoughts? And what are your thoughts about the kid from Stanford coming in second?
Yeah, I was a bit conflicted coming in, Matt. I wanted either Ndamukong Suh, Toby Gerhardt. I think they were the most deserving. But more weight has to be put on what Ingram did and his stats, considering he was in the SEC all year, playing against the best defenses week in and week out, the most NFL-caliber prospects week in and week out. And after he won the award, Matt, I was a little more happy that he won it, seeing how much it meant to him, tearing up on stage. I mean, it's obvious the guy has a passion for the game. And besides Ndamukong Suh, he looks like the best potential NFL prospect out of all of them. The guy's going to be a lead back for a good NFL team for a long time.
Yeah, he's a hell of a football player. Yeah. And I want to ask you this. And I know college football is surrounded by politics, by institutions, and by TV ratings. But if Big Sue plays two more Saturday night games throughout the regular season, do you think he wins it?
Oh, absolutely, Matt. And, really? You know, we've kind of went to the Heisman thing. It's the guy, the most recognizable name that's been on TV the most. In the SEC, we get them every week on CBS. Mm-hmm. Texas, we get them four times a year on ABC. We saw Sue, what, one time the entire year? And he almost ended up, I mean, the highest defensive tackle ever in the Heisman voting based off one performance. So I think if he's on TV more often, you know, and you see dominance after dominance after dominance, the guy's the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right, and you see Gerhardt from Stanford has a big performance against Oregon, USC, and then a primetime game against Notre Dame. We know that drives ratings. I think that gave him a boost towards the end of the season. You know, I was a little surprised that Tebow fell away to fifth. I know he didn't have the best year stat-wise, but, you know, a 12-0 regular season, I don't know. I mean, that's always up for discussion, but I agree with you. Ingram was a good pick. Sue could have won it. And Gerhardt made a nice push at the end. I'd be interested to see. I love seeing these Heisman guys and love seeing what they're able to do in the pros. Obviously, we'll have to wait a while on Ingram. But Big Sue, man, that guy's going to go number one. I think he's going to the Bucs. But that's something down the road. Let's get into the NFL, Wes. And let's start with the game last night. I'm sure a lot of people watched the primetime game Sunday night. No defense whatsoever. What I was shocked was as good as Philly is on offense and their big playability. And something I wrote about this morning, I love what they did in the red zone. I love how they ran the tight end delay to Selick on the first score of the game. They faked the sprint out. That's what's on tape for everyone to see. You know, when you're a defensive player in the red zone, you watch the film, you get their scouting reports. The tendency say Philly is a sprint out team in the red zone because they can't run the ball. They run the delay, which is nice. They implemented Michael Vick. They're doing that more and more. Every time he comes into the game, it's something creative, especially down in the red zone where the field shrinks. You need something like that if you can't run the ball. But Wes, Sean Jones, Sheldon Brown, these guys can't tackle. I mean, some of those plays last night were ridiculous. The pass to Hickson, the pass to Nix, that's just bad tackling. I mean, they were there to make the play. And I wonder what you think. You know, looking at this game, you know, obviously a great game to watch for a fan of football because you like high scoring, you like the drama, but the defense, the Giants' defense is gone. I'm sorry. That secondary is atrocious in New York. But I was shocked by the Philly secondary and how poor they tackled.
Yeah, and usually, Matt, we see if the Eagles can get a lead early, Sean McDermott can turn up the pressure, create a lot more negative plays, forcing opposing quarterbacks to throw off their back foot, throw some passes they wouldn't typically throw, allow the defenders to ball hawk it after the play. We didn't see that yesterday. We didn't see hardly any pressure from either team. Mm-hmm. You look, OCU Manure had one sack for the Giants, but they weren't able to get pressure consistently. And their defenders, especially in that back half, their inability to turn and run. DeSean Jackson was just playing at another gear yesterday. And you're thinking, why isn't there any more cushion? You know the ball's going to him. You know the Eagles love to throw the football down the field. And I just thought a failure on both teams. Inability to adjust yesterday was the biggest reason why we saw such a high-scoring game.
Right, and if you're playing defense against the Eagles right now, One thing you can't do is play this cover two, because Jackson's great off the line. He's tough to get a jam on. And then as a safety, you're playing 15 to 18 yards off the ball when he gets to the top of your back pedal, and you're faced with DeSean Jackson with a two-way go. Get out of here. It's not going to work. I would think you got to play some two-man. We have the corner trailing underneath him. Just to pad the safety. You can't leave a safety out there in cover two to cover this guy. It's not going to work. And we saw last night. We saw it the first time the Giants and the Eagles played. They ran basically the same route. It's a deep crossing route where Jackson is matched up against the safety. All he has to do is hop on him. And McNabb's got the arm to throw it. But, again, going back to the red zone, I think that's a big plus for this offense. It's scoring touchdowns instead of field goals, because they struggle when the field shrinks. They can't throw the deep ball from the 10-yard line, from the 15-yard line. They just can't. There's nowhere to go. And I think what they're doing in the red zone is really good. This is the NFC East champions. I'm sorry. We'll get to Dallas in a minute, but I'm not buying the Giants. I'm definitely not buying the Cowboys. In fact, let's go there, Wes. Let's talk about Dallas and San Diego. I thought the Dallas game plan was good compared to last week when Romo threw the ball 55 times. You know, they stuck to their power running play, the off-tackle power out. The lead open, which has been a Dallas staple for years. The lead draw open. But you have to talk about the second quarter goal line series. Four straight runs from Marion Barber. And three of them were ISO plays. And ISO plays where the fullback leads and Barber comes up behind the fullback. You need a good surge for the offensive line, which they did not get. They can't get in the end zone. Fourth down, they align Marion Barber at the fullback position. If you're a defensive player, you see this a lot. I saw this a lot when I played with Terrell Owens when he was in Philly. They move him inside. They'll put him at the slot. They'll align him at the X receiver when he's usually the Z receiver. What that means as a defensive player is this guy is getting the football. You know, Marion Barber is not going to line at fullback and run an ISO play and kick out in a linebacker. It's not going to happen. In that same regard, the Chargers know he's getting the football, and you're running a dive play with no lead block against a defense that just stuffed you three times in a row. And I look at Dallas. I mean, the best thing that was going on for the Cowboys yesterday was they had some asinine 3D on the scoreboard in the third quarter. That was the only thing going on for that team. I mean, you look at West. They have to play New Orleans Saturday night down in the Superdome. That's another loss. Is this team done?
Yeah. Excuse me. Get out of here with the Cowboys. I mean, you look at them. Where was the pass rush yesterday? I know Ware wasn't really there for him, but how much time did Phillip Rivers have consistently to drop back into the pocket? Vincent Jackson just running naked down the field. He's a big target, but we can criticize the Cowboys' secondary as much as they want. There's no secondary in the NFL, Matt, that can match up with the talent that the San Diego Chargers have without a legitimate pass rush. And I thought they did enough offensively with the run game. Sure, Tomlinson only 50 yards. But like we've said, in order to beat upper echelon teams, you need to be disciplined running the football, at least have some balance on offense. If Phillip Rivers can stay in that 25, 30, 35 range throwing the football instead of going 40, 45, 50 times throwing it, I think the Chargers are a much better football team, keeping opposing defenses off balance. And if the Cowboys can't create pressure, their back seven just doesn't have the talent to hold up versus nearly anyone in the NFL.
Right, and you look at the Chargers a little bit more closely, Wes. This is a team that's on a major roll, yeah. And we don't talk about them a lot. Phillip Rivers, if it isn't for Drew Brees and Peyton Manning, he's an MVP front runner, you know, along with Favre. I mean, those are the top four quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
And I might even put Rivers over Favre, and I'll take heat from saying that. People think I'm a Favre basher, which I'm not. But Rivers is having such a great year. And you look at all the playoffs. I mean, they're going to get a first-round bye. They are. They're going to win the AFC West. They're going to get a first-round bye. And you're talking about maybe seeing, you know, an AFC championship game with San Diego at Indy. I mean, that'd be a great football game.
Yeah, and I love the week-to-week changes with Antonio Gates. It seems like one week the guy goes for 10 catches, and you see defenses start to zone in on him. Instead of Rivers trying to force-feed him the football, well, Vincent Jackson just happens to go off yesterday. So I just like Phillip Rivers, the maturity of him, not force-feeding the ball to any of his stars, taking what the defense gives him. I think, like you said, guy's playing at another level, and if there's no Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, or Drew Brees, this is, we're saying, the top quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, he's having a great year. Just a great season. I'm not going to – well, I am going to throw it in there, Wes. I don't care if you call me arrogant. I did pick San Diego over Philly in the Super Bowl. I'm looking okay right now. I wasn't looking very good in September. I still don't think it's going to happen. We'll get to those predictions in a couple weeks. But, man, this, I love San Diego right now. I just like how they're playing. I mean, there's reports now that North Turner's going to get a contract extension.
Well-deserved, too.
Yeah. It's paradise out there because of the weather, and it's if you talk about a place you want to play right now, that's the place to be. Let's stay in the AFC. Let's talk about New England. And let's start with Randy Moss. Okay, this is the big story of the day, folks. Everyone knows. Everyone's going to be talking about it. Everyone who has a computer is going to write about it, including myself. I'll write about it this afternoon. But
you're going to take a different perspective, though, I hope, Matt.
I am. I'll take a different perspective because I'm going to take this perspective. Chris Gamble, congratulations. You got the microphone put in your face after the game, and you got to tell everyone how you shut down Randy Moss, and you had a pick, and you guys double covered him all day. Well, great. I mean, I don't know what this guy wants. If he wants, a bunch of cookies sent to him in the mail for doing a good job, one of those little T-ball trophies you get for participation. But you guys lost 20-10. Wes Welker had 10 catches on you for 105 yards. That's the bottom line. And this is Randy Moss. This is who he is. This is going back to when I played. And I wasn't any good. And I still know this stuff, that teams talk about this stuff in the meeting rooms and locker rooms after the game. Don't come out and publicly say it after getting beat. It doesn't do anything. All you're trying to do is trying to throw a guy under a bus because he had a bad game. And I'm sure Moss will be the first to admit it. He had a bad game. And Brady stood up for him already. And if the quarterback's standing up for him, well, I'm going to take the quarterback side, the guy with the 3 rings and the MVP trophies, because he knows this team better than we do. And if Tom Brady says there's not a problem, then there's not a problem. He had a bad game. He didn't finish some routes. That's what he does. But what else is he going to do? I mean, I've heard experts on TV talk about, well, there's not any other options. Other options? Are you kidding me, Wes? This is Randy Moss. He is still the most dangerous receiver in the National Football League. No disrespect to Larry Fitzgerald. But this is the guy, if you want a big play down the field, you want Randy Moss on your team. Yeah, he had a bad game, but get off.
Yeah,
get
Matt,
off the game. Gamble, you guys lost.
Yeah, and Matt, you're saying bad game about Randy Moss. One catch, 16 yards. But I'm pretty sure throughout that game, they still were keeping safety help over the top every time.
Well, of course.
Two guys. So in a bad game, whatever you want, the guy's still attracting so much attention, making everyone around him better. There's no way Wes Welker goes for 10 catches, 105 yards, if Randy Moss is one-on-one on the outside. So what's Brady going to do? Just chuck it up to him. So I agree 100% with what you're going to say. People are going to come back. We know today that Randy Moss is getting lazy. He's not getting the ball. No one cares. He's lost it. The guy, teams are scared to death of him, and he attracts double teams every time he's played. Darrell Revis doesn't go one-on-one with the guy. He's got safety help as well. So give me a break. This is just something that helps the Patriots. They're going to move the ball consistently. And if anyone has the audacity to play Randy Moss one-on-one, good luck, because they're going to get killed.
Right. And, something that's lost in this game because, on the flip side, that Patriots won, they gave up another big play. They're secondary right now. You go back the last 3 weeks, New Orleans carved the secondary up. Chad Henne threw for 350. Matt Moore threw a 41-yard touchdown pass. When the ball's in between the 40s, defensive player, you come out of the huddle. This is when an offensive coordinator likes to take a shot. They run play action. Merriweather bites in the play action. You got a corner playing outside leverage on Steve Smith with no safety help. That's a touchdown every time. They have to get better fundamentally as a defensive secondary. They have to read their keys. They have to be able to read run pass. Those are simple things that you should know as an NFL athlete. And I'm telling you, that stuff's not going to fly in January. It can fly against the Panthers in the middle of December, but not in January.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Matt. You look at, pass safeties, Harrison that used to be there, and you compare him with a guy like Merriweather. No one's going to question that Merriweather isn't 10 times the athlete that Harrison was. However, Harrison could read the game. He was in position to make plays. And like you said, Sean Springs playing outside leverage. You have a guy like Merriweather Blight. He's not the athlete anymore that can make up for lost ground and close on the football. So you have a lot of questions with young, inexperienced guys, highly talented athletes, probably one of the more athletic secondaries they've had in a while, but guys that consistently take themselves out of plays with false steps.
Yeah, I agree. And it's something to watch. It really is, folks. This team, New England, Brady will admit it too. They're not playing good right now. They're not. They're 8-5. They got Miami right in their heels, and they have the Jets right in their heels. I know they got that 7-7. So this is not a foregone conclusion that the Patriots are in the playoffs. We'll see what happens. They have to play better than the secondary. Wes, let's jump over to Indy. Brandon Marshall was awesome yesterday. 21 catches, breaks T.O.'s record of 20. And they still lose, though. But let's talk about Marshall real quick before we get into
Manning and the Colts and the Colts defense. You know, what is lost in this and any perspective, Wes, but Marshall and Orton, what they did is they read the defense. When they saw a single high safety, they ran the three-step game, which is the slant, the hitch, the out, the fade. When they saw the Colts in their, you know, their core Tampa 2 covers, and you see two safeties before the snap walk around by the numbers, they're in the fade stop and the slant when he could beat the corner off a rolled-up corner. And Brandon Marshall is just so much physically better than corners. You can't play off-man against this guy. You kidding me? He's just going to run an out or a slant. He's going to catch the ball, he'd probably break a tackle. You're going to press him, he's going to beat you off the line of scrimmage. And I think this is more a reflection of, you know, smart football by the Broncos and knowing where to go with the football because they know they can win that one-on-one matchup every time.
Yeah, I agree, Matt. But the thing I was impressed yesterday with the Colts, and, you know, with these cover two looks that they give, and granted, no one runs pure cover two anymore, but they don't have the type of corners physically to match up with a guy like Brandon Marshall. However, what they have, those linebackers, their defensive linemen, can run to the football, tackle in space, and I think they did a nice job containing no Sean Moreno yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And like we said, sure, Peyton Manning was only 20 for 42, had three interceptions. The guy's never going to have a game like that before in his life. But when the game's on the line, what does he do? Dallas Clark down the field, seven, you know, minutes, and they end up winning the game. So when the game's in the balance, you know you're going to get Peyton Manning at his best, and that's what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, that's a good point about Moreno. He goes for 63 yards and 23 carries, only a 2.7 average. That's terrible football if you're the Broncos. You talk going to watch the film today. They could not run the ball against Indy. And that drive you're talking about, it's 21-16. It's in the fourth quarter. You know, Denver needs to stop. Peyton goes 14 plays, 80 yards, 7 minutes, 19 seconds, touchdown, game over. We're 13-0. See you, Broncos. That's just how it is with that team. You know, whenever Manning would be the first to admit, too, he didn't play his best game. But when he needed to make plays, he made plays. And, you know, something I wrote about, too, is Indy, it's fun to watch if you're a fan of, you know, X's and O's, because they only really have two personnel packages. They have Ace, which is two tight ends, two wideouts, and a running back, and which is three wideouts, a tight end, and a running back. But they disguise, you know, they window dress all stuff with it. All these bunch formations, the empty sets. It's the same personnel every time. And they run the same routes that you see every team run, but they run them so well out of those disguised formations. You know, oftentimes we talk about the defense having pre-snap looks. Well, the Colts have pre-snap looks on offense that are confusing. And they're confusing, and they work because Manning always keeps his feet going. He's always looking downfield. 13-0, I think they're going 16-0.
Yeah,
I really do, Wes.
And I don't think if the Broncos do make the playoffs, they end up seeing the Colts. I just don't think they match up real well. To beat the Colts, you need to be physical at the point of attack. And we like to see Moreno. They love to run so many plays off tackles, get him outside. I just think the Colts have too much speed in their front seven, defensive linemen and linebackers, for him to consistently reach the perimeter. I think that's why he struggled so much yesterday. And I just don't think they have that thumper with Carrell Buckholder. I don't think he's the guy who can just run downhill on the Colts. I just think that's why the Broncos struggle to run the ball so effectively.
Right, I agree. Let's hit on Miami and Jacksonville real quick, Wes. I've said it before, I don't buy the Jags as a playoff team. And the reason why is, you know, Maurice Jones-Drew is a unique football player. He's the type of running back that can carry an entire game plan for four quarters, which is hard to do. But he's conditioned well enough and he's physical enough that he can do that. But in December, you have to have a quarterback to win. And I don't buy David Garrard. I never have. I'm not going to start doing it now. He didn't have a great game yesterday, and you look at their schedule. They got to play Indy on Thursday night. They got to play New England, and they finish up on the road in Cleveland. You know it's going to be nasty weather. And Cleveland showed us on Thursday night they could put together a defensive game plan that will at least keep them in the ball game, and it could win it for them. But Miami, I do buy Miami, Wes. I think Miami's right in it. I really do. And he's playing good. They're running the football, and their defense is getting nasty.
Yeah, I agree. Get the Jaguars out of there right now. I don't think they end up making the playoffs at all. David Garrard, you need to make a play, especially when you're playing a physical defense that puts extra men in the box, daring you to run the football. When he has man-on-man coverage on the outside and isn't able to consistently beat defenses, I mean, that's not a playoff-caliber team. Miami, on the other hand, I think we're seeing that maturation process of Chad Henne. You know the Dolphins want to run the football. But when defenses load up in the box and they try to stop Ricky Williams, Chad Henne's consistently been able to make defenses pay for their mistakes. The guy has one of the cleanest releases in the NFL, consistently snapping the football. Sure, he's inaccurate at times, but when this guy's on, can consistently beat opposing defenses. And I think Miami has enough defensively and offensively to make this playoff push, Matt. I think this is the last wild card team we're talking about.
Now, with Miami, there's an outside chance they don't get in. There's a great chance they do get in. Wes, you think they get in as a playoff team. They got Baltimore there also after they beat down the Lions yesterday. And you also, I mean, the Titans are actually still in it. So are the Texans at 6-7. I don't know if they get in, but they're still there. There's a lot. Get the Jets at 7-7. It's a logjam, and that's why these next 2 weeks will be awesome football to watch in the AFC, because you're going to have to win to get in. That's just the bottom line. You probably have to win out the way it's shaping up. You might have to win out and win the next three games to get in. Be fun to watch. And I might have to agree with you on this Miami team, because they are so physical and they do play so good on defense. No one wants to play the runner. You don't want to play the Dolphins. You just don't. Let's move over to the NFC West, because I want to talk New Orleans. New Orleans is on pace to go 16-0, just like the Colts. Now they're getting, this is what happens with great teams, is people want to look, they want to look for dents in their, and right now New Orleans isn't winning very pretty. They struggled to win on the road yesterday against a team that's without Matt Ryan, without Michael Turner. People saying all the Saints are struggling. Darren Sharper had a rough day. On the corner blitz, he got smoked by Jenkins down the middle of the field. He's got to stay on top of that route in the post. He had a tough time covering Tony Gonzalez in man coverage. But Jonathan Vilma, again, this is why they are 13-0. Last week, when they had to come back against the Redskins, Vilma made a pick in the fourth quarter that helped it go in overtime. Yesterday, he makes a pick in cover two. And then on the fourth down play, when they're up by three, the Falcons run an angle route, which an angle route is when you're running back stems to the flat and cuts back to the middle of the field between the hashes. Plays perfect techniques, makes the stop, they're off the field, and that's the game. But that's the thing. Great defense is giving up a lot of yards right now, a lot of points. But they still have playmakers who are making those plays. And sometimes that's more important in the month of December.
Yeah, getting the ball back, short field, manageable down distance, giving it back to Drew Brees consistently is what the Saints defense needs to do. They don't really care if they're going to give up these long drives. If they can create a turnover, if they can create a sack and get the opposing defense off the field, they know Drew Brees has a chance to win it for them. And again, that's what he did yesterday. Three touchdowns, 296. The guy's ability to fit the football into spaces where only his receiver can catch it is unmatched in the NFL. I mean, consistently you see big targets like Meacham, Colston, Shockey being draped by coverage, that he puts it only where they can go pluck the football, consistently moves the chains. And we finally had a Reggie Bush sighting. If they can incorporate this guy a little more in the pass game like they did and not have to consistently force the ball down the field, I mean, this defense has so many elements, it's nearly impossible to guard him.
Yeah, I like Reggie Bush, and I think the biggest knock on him is people want him to be like Adrian Peterson or something. He's not, people need to get over that. That's not who he is. That's not who he was when he was at Southern Cal. He's the type of guy you use in exotic formations. He's the type of guy you get the ball to on the edge. He's the type of guy to use to create mismatches. He isn't a guy that's going to have 27, 30 carries a game like a Maurice Jones-Drew. That's not him. Mm-hmm. He's perfect for this offense. And I agree with you. The more they implement him, it just adds more weapons. And the more plays Greg's deep, you're going to have to outscore New Orleans to beat them. That's one thing. When it comes to January, you're going to have to outscore them down in the Superdome. I don't see that happening. And it's just like Dallas going down there this week. And Dallas scoring up points to beat New Orleans on the road, I don't see it happen. I don't see it happen. I think New Orleans is a favorite to win the NFC. There will be some tough matchups. I think Minnesota can match up with them. I think Arizona is a sleeper. I really do. We'll get to them in a second, the Monday night game, but I really think they're a tough matchup. But still, playing at home, trying to outscore Brees. I think Brees should be the MVP. I don't know, Wes. I just think this team is so good right now, despite what people are saying about them, that they're winning close games. That's what good teams do. This is the NFL. It's 16 weeks. It's hard. It's really hard to prepare each week to fight through injuries. They have a ton of injuries in the secondary. I know those might sound like excuses, but not when you're winning. The excuses that they were losing, they're not losing. Now let's talk about a team that is losing, the Chicago Bears. You know, the love-hate relationship with Jay Cutler took a step forward again yesterday. There was two great touchdown passes, Pro Bowl throws. Hits Johnny Knox against two man in the red zone, ball on the upfield shoulder, great throw. Throws another touchdown to Roma Shadu on the back shoulder fade against great covers by Charles Woodson. But then just throws the ball flat foot to Woodson for the first pick. Second pick, there's a corner cat from the Packers, and he just whips it down the sideline and gets picked off by Collins. The guy, it's so frustrating to watch because 1 minute he looks like a guy like Breeze, the next minute he looks like a rookie quarterback of some of his decision-making.
Yeah, I agree. And we consistently see, though, Matt, it's the Jay Cutler show. They don't have the run game to take any pressure off this guy.
I agree.
And it's tough to win football games in the NFL if you're asked to carry this team week in and week out. We look at Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Sure, not the most gaudy of numbers, but could efficiently move the chains. And he had Ryan Grant to lean on. 20 carries, 137 yards, two touchdowns, that big run. In December, we talk about in the NFC North, have to be able to run the football. It's tough to throw in the sleet, in the hail, in the cold of those northern conditions. And we saw it yesterday. Packers were able to run the ball. Too much pressure on Jay Cutler. The Bears weren't able to. That's the difference in the game.
I agree. And Ryan Grant had great vision yesterday. Something I wrote about this morning. We talk about vision as a tailback all the time. And I started on the first play. They ran what turned out to be basically an inside zone play, but it was the counteraction, the backfield you see in a counter OF, and the fullback runs the counteraction weak and kicks out, and he just planted his foot and cut back. He did it all day. When you're going against the Tampa 2 team, they're heavy in pursuit. He did a great job of seeing the field, cutting back, finding runs. I thought it was his best performance of the season, and that's what they're going to need. Now, so you want to win games in the playoffs, you're going to need something from Ryan Grant. Like you said, it can't be all Aaron Rodgers. Just can't be. Defense, again, in Green Bay, they make plays. They constantly make plays. You know, we talked about Greg Williams being the, you know, assistant coach of the year earlier in the season, along with Mike Nolan. Dom Capers is up there right now.
Yep.
Because his defense is playing the best, and they're the number one unit in the NFL. That's when you look at, if you want to look at numbers, I know numbers can, you know, not paint the perfect picture every time, but they are the number one unit in the NFL. And they will be a tough matchup in the playoffs. We're going to do a lot of road work, get to Miami, but they're going to be in the playoffs. This is a playoff football team, folks, and they're going to be in. Wes, let's wrap this up. Let's go to Monday night. Arizona at San Fran. I think I would be safe to say we're both going to take the Cardinals tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's another opportunity, though, for San Francisco, if you're Alex Smith, to prove to this franchise they don't have to waste a draft pick on a quarterback next year. You don't have to use free agency to get a quarterback, that he is your quarterback. He's getting better. He's very athletic in the pocket. I like what I see out of him in the pocket, but he is still very inconsistent. He doesn't have a high completion percentage. He throws some bad footballs, but he has all those tools you look for in a quarterback. What are your views on Smith going forward for the Niners?
Yeah, well, I think if the Niners want to go forward with Alex Smith, they can't do it out of the traditional two back looks with two tight ends. They need to put him in the gun, spread out the offense, and let him throw the ball around, which I think there's a bit of an identity crisis right now in San Francisco,
right?
Because Frank Gore doesn't fit that. He's not the guy that consistently leak out of the backfield, make plays in space. He's an in-between-the-tackles kind of runner. So do you eliminate your best weapon on offense in Frank Gore, or do you try to optimize the potential with a potential franchise quarterback in Alex Smith? It's a tough call right now, but I think the identity crisis, it's too much to overcome to beat a team as talented as the Arizona Cardinals tonight. I like the Cardinals big.
I do. And I briefly talked about this. When Kurt Warner's healthy, when he gets time to throw, how do you match up with the Cardinals? How do you match up with Fitz? How do you match up with Bolden? They do run the football, not with great production, but they do run it, which balances them out with Hightower and Beanie Wells. And you've talked about in the past, Wes, their defensive line is very athletic. They have one of the best safeties in the game, doesn't get a lot of credit, in Adrian Wilson. They have corners that can play. They have athletic linebackers. It's a very good defense in Arizona. And, you know, we start looking forward to the playoffs. And we know Arizona would have to go either through Minneapolis or through New Orleans. And that has always been the knock on Arizona. Get them outside. You know, get them on the road in the playoffs. But they're not going to have to go outside in the playoffs. They're going to be in the dome. And that's a tough matchup. I mean, this is a team that could seriously make a run to Miami. I know I've already talked about New Orleans. I like New Orleans. I do. This is a team that could seriously make a run to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, if there's one team in the NFC that can outscore the Saints, Matt, I agree. It's this team, the Arizona Cardinals, and I think they have the defensive front four, an athletic but unique, tough combinations. Calais Campbell with his long arms, Alan Branch, Gabe Watson can plug up the middle. They have the creative and the unique type of athletes inside to create pressure with only four, can outscore them. I think this is one of the dark horses for the Super Bowl this year.
I agree. We're both taking the Cardinals tonight. That's it, folks. We're going to wrap it up for this week. Make sure you check out Wes's writing. He's breaking down the conferences, the prospects for each conference. He started last week. On Friday, he had the All-Big Ten, which is just littered with Hawkeyes. That's what happens when you go 10-2, Wes. You have a lot of players. And he's done the SECs, and to get to the Big 12, he's got the Big East today. And if this is something you're into, if you want to see where the prospects are and what they're going to do at the next level, make sure you check this stuff out, folks. It's great stuff. You're only going to find it here at the National Football Post. And we'll be back next week, as we are always on Monday, with the Cover 2 podcast. Break it down. Another crucial weekend, December football, folks. These are big games. Big football games are the deciding factor. Get ready to have a little postseason fun in January. You know, Wes Budding, I am Matt Bowen. We'll check you next week for us. About a shot that's me. Shut up.